Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN here at 9:35. I'm Brandon Peoples talking today with Jason Smith, President and CEO of the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. And part of the presentation here at the City Commission meeting on Tuesday involved also the semi-annual report. And I want to take some time to kind of go over that a little bit here in this next segment and kind of what all that entailed.
Every year, the Economic Development Division of the Chamber will do their report semi-annually. So we do a July and December report. Then the Convention Visitors Bureau will do their report every quarter. And so twice a year we do those together. The July session is when we will do our reports as well as our budget ask, which you talked a little bit about. On the economic development side, the Convention Visitors Bureau, which is, of course, managed by Karen Hibbert, she also did her budget request. They had a number, and quite frankly, I don't remember exactly what that was. It was $938,000 or something like that. But unlike the economic development side, which is funded from the economic development sales tax, the tourism budget is funded 100% from the transient guest tax. So if you think about when you go to a hotel and you always look at it and there's sales tax on there, and then there's always, it doesn't matter where you go anymore, there's always this extra amount that you pay at hotels across the country. That's the transient guest tax that's used in Manhattan to help fund tourism activities. In addition to that, it also is used to fund some infrastructure improvements. So, for instance, some of the conference center is paid out of that. Some of the improvements to Annenberg Field a few years ago is paid out of that. And of course, those payments have to come out first because that was borrowed funds, and those debts have to be paid. And then if there's whatever is left over, there are several entities that receive annual allocations: Downtown Manhattan, Aggieville, Wolf House, Manhattan Art Center, and then the remaining amount is used for tourism. And for a number of years, multiple decades, that has been done through the CVB, which was created by the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. This year, obviously, when COVID hit and the travel became basically non-existent, there was a huge hit to the TGT fund. And so the city immediately let the people know, the entities know, who are part of that after the notes are paid, not to expect to receive any more money this year. And so we basically got our budget cut on for the CVB in half in terms of the revenues from the TGT fund. We made some pretty quick adjustments and cut a pretty sizable amount out of that, out of the remaining budget for the rest of the year, and then have allocated some reserve funds that on money we'd saved from previous years to cover the other costs. Because, again, similar to what we talked about on the economic development side, we want to make sure that our program is ready and we're continuing to get in front and make contact with meeting planners. We want to make sure that we have an online presence so people know what's going on. Because if you think about it, if people aren't flying, then regional travel is going to be, I think, certainly a wave of the future in the near term. So people taking day trips or people taking weekend trips or people taking multiple regional communities as opposed to the big trip to Disney World. So we think there's some opportunities there that we can't just quit and say, okay, well, we'll pick this back up when we can travel again, because these kind of efforts, you just can't stop and start. So we were able to maintain our budget through the rest of this year. We submitted a budget for 2021. We don't think that that's what the number will be. We think that there'll have to be some additional adjustments because, the spikes that have happened recently, and then predicting spikes later in the year, and whatever happens with schools and football and those kind of things, will have a huge impact on those TGT collections. And a lot, the fourth quarter collections are what we use to fund budgets in the first quarter of the next year. So we did submit a number, but we were very clear that we were going to be flexible to bring that number into alignment with whatever the reality of the revenues are. And that's kind of where we left that. And again, on the ED side, we were a little more specific because those funds tend to be a little more stable. The TGT is completely reliant on people staying in hotels. That's right now we're at about half capacity, maybe at best, to where our half is being used compared to this point last year. So those numbers are going to come down quite a bit over the next few months.
Yeah, a lot hinges on the next few weeks with kind of how everything goes with this pandemic, I would imagine, for Convention and Visitors Bureau, because you mentioned that funds basically the first quarter of next year. This is their biggest time of the year, obviously, with all fall sports and everything up in the air right now.
Yeah, May, of course, is a big time, and that was not a great month with graduations and weddings in June. And, of course, Dave knows a lot about that. And so May and June are big months, and then fall. Those are our big hospitality months. And so we're already down May and June, and now we're looking at a fall that may not be where we expect it, or where it normally is. And so yeah, it's definitely something that is, you know, it's just like everything. When I talk to our businesses, and of course, it's a challenge dealing with the pandemic on a day-to-day basis. But what I hear as the number one complaint or the number one concern of businesses, and it's the same thing we have at the chamber, I'm sure it's the same thing you all have when you're making decisions at the radio station. It's we don't know what's going to happen next. And if there was some certainty that, okay, this is going to last at this point in time, and then, you know, we're going to be back to some kind of normal soon, you could deal with things a lot better because you could make the appropriate strategies and plans and financial arrangements. The problem is we just don't know. I mean, we don't know what next week's going to look like. We don't know what next month's going to look like. And you certainly don't know what the next few months are going to look like. And so, that's the challenge that's created for businesses, nonprofits, government entities. That's the number one challenge. And so we're hopeful that the experts can come up with a treatment or some way to mitigate the effects of coronavirus. Obviously, we are encouraging and people to wash their hands, wear masks, social distance. We are not, obviously we're not health experts, but we are going to do everything in our capacity to convince people to take the necessary steps so we avoid another shutdown or even partial closures of businesses. Because when that happened in the spring, there was a significant amount of money that came in from the feds to keep a lot of these businesses open and keep people employed. I don't know that we can expect something like that to happen again. So whatever precautions we can take to keep our small businesses, because they're the ones that suffer, locally owned small businesses, whatever we can do to keep them open, the chamber is going to be in support of that. And we're going to encourage our members and the community to do the best they can to help that as well. So,
all right, we've got another caller here with a question. Good morning, you're on In Focus.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a local small business owner, and was fortunate enough to receive one of the loans from the chamber, and it definitely helped. Appreciate it. I'd kind of like you to discuss how the payback's going to work with that, when it's going to begin, and what flexibility there's going to be with that, if you would, please. And I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thank you for calling, and I'm glad we were able to help. So we originally set up that program to mirror
the payback that the state of Kansas used for their HIRE program. And they had a, I don't remember what HIRE exactly stood for, but it was basically a fund that the state of Kansas set aside to help businesses in the hospitality industry. And that was a 4 month, it was a 3 year, 0% interest, repayment, with a 4 month deferral up front. And so that's the, that's where we have set that up. In fact, we had this conversation yesterday. We will be reaching out to those businesses that receive those loans because we're approaching the four-month window for the first round of those to set up a payment plan. And we will. It'll be a monthly repayment based on the 36-month. We'll take the amount that was loaned and divide it by 36, and that business will pay that back over the next 36 months. We will take those funds then and immediately give them back to the city because it came out of the Economic Development Fund, and we will put them back into the Economic Development Fund. So that's it. We're going to make it as simple as we can. And number one, because we didn't take any additional administrative cost to do that. So we want it to be simple for us, and we want it to be simple for the businesses, and we want to make sure we get the funds back into the ED fund to help other people in the future.
All right. That's a great phone call. Thank you so much. And we're going to take a break, and we'll finish up our show here with Jason Smith when we return on News Radio KMAN.